Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and in studio with me is the host of Money Life and Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, for the last several weeks, we've talked often about this idea of man's economy and God's economy, and apparently our message has made it all the way to the UK. In fact, in the highest levels of banking, they appear to be talking about God's economy and man's economy.
Well, you know, Dave, I appreciate the compliment. We do have active volunteer staff operating in the UK right now. Mark and Rhoda Lloyd Bottom are doing an incredible job getting the message out about God's economy, but I don't think they're exactly influenced by the Money Life program.
Well, you're probably correct. Actually, Chuck, what I'm referring to is a recent article from Bloomberg.com, which caught both our eye, and the title of the article says, "Profit, Not Satanic," Barclays says, after Goldman invokes Jesus. And in the first paragraph, Barclays Chief Executive Officer John Varley stood in the lectern of St. Martin in the Fields on London's Trafalgar Square last night and told the packed pews of the church that profit is not satanic.
Well, Dave, it's a very provocative headline because this is an argument that's not going to be isolated to the United Kingdom. This is an argument that's going to come to a place near you here in the U.S. And basically, all three political parties are saying to the banks, you cannot make that much profit, that there's too much disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And so it's creating a lot of social unrest. And the debate centers around what is the best economic model. Is it socialism, capitalism, or communism? And basically, our position is that it's none of the three. That the best economic model is operating your personal affairs as well as your national affairs around biblical principles that we call God's economy. And it's so fascinating because to defend their position, the bankers actually had to come out and start quoting the Bible. Barley went on to say, in a church, this lecture was hosted by a group called the Christian Association of Business Executives, and he said there's no conflict between doing business in an ethical and responsible way and making money. We make our biggest contribution to society by being good at what we do. And I totally agree with him, and he just quoted a principle of God's economy and didn't realize it. But we're going to talk more about that in upcoming programs.
Well, in just a moment, we'll introduce you to our guest today, Rusty Leonard. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. The 6-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Rusty Leonard. Rusty is the CEO of Stewardship Partners, an investment firm committed to helping Christian investors align their portfolios with a biblically based worldview. Rusty, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you again.
Rusty, I received an email just recently from one of our listeners who was very concerned about biblically responsible investing. And here's what she said. Dear Chuck, I've listened with keen interest every time Rusty Leonard has been your guest, and I've not found anything in Scripture that defines investments that the Lord is pleased with other than placing them where they will not rust or be destroyed. How can anyone know how banks invest the money when we buy a CD or we open a money market account. How far would the Lord have us go in determining these things? I pray about this a lot, but I simply don't know what to do. Do you have any suggestions? And I responded to this listener, Rusty. I'm going to ask Rusty, and we're going to do a program about it. So tell us, what are the principles of biblically responsible investing?
Well, I think the main and perhaps the only principle you really need to have is that you want to do what the Lord would have you do. You want to invest the way Jesus would invest if he was sitting in your situation. And so we love Jesus. We want to honor him in all that we do. Investing is really just a small part of our overall life, but it is part of it, and we don't want to ignore it. And to the extent that we can do that in a righteous manner that honors the Lord, that's the point. That's the whole message there, to really just enhance your relationship with the Lord by bringing that aspect of your life under his authority.
Well, I know we're going to get into some real specific examples of how do you do that and does it really work. But in recent years, there's been a rise or a growing increase in what people call socially responsible investing. How does biblically responsible investing differ from socially responsible investing?
Yeah, let me give you a start by giving you a little background on socially responsible investing. It was really Christian investors that got that started in the late 60s, early 70s, when they, particularly surrounding two issues, the environment, and but more importantly, the thing that really jettisoned it off was South Africa and the effort to get rid of the apartheid policies in South Africa. But over the years, the liberal wing of Christianity plus just secular humanism essentially took over the SRI movement. And so their focus on an SRI land is primarily on things that most people who are looking at things from a conservative Christian perspective would view to be the opposite of where they're coming from. So they're pro-homosexuality, they're pro-abortion, they're not concerned about things like pornography as much as we might be. They're more interested in the environment, global warming, things of that nature. And so they have gone far afield. And tragically, Chuck, a lot of Christians who may be listening to this program may have had an interest in and may have gone to their stockbroker or financial advisor and said, I want my money to reflect God's values. And the advisor, not really understanding these things, may have put them into an SRI fund, which is exactly the opposite of what they wanted, thinking that that is what they wanted. So there's a lot of confusion around that. That's why biblically responsible investing got started, just to kind of put a marker out there and say, well, this is different. This is based truly on the Bible, not on kind of good ideas that men have.
Well, I was listening to a very popular news talk program just on the radio in the background as I was driving to the airport last week, and I heard a caller challenge the host on some perspective of what Jesus would do, and they totally disagreed on what Jesus would do. So from your perspective, how would Jesus invest? And then I want you to give me some examples of companies or investments that actually meet that standard.
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, there is no perfect company, obviously. There's no perfect investor. There's no perfect human being. We all have our failing. And a lot of people, unfortunately, will stop at that problem and say, well, since I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. That's not the right response. You do the best you can. So I try to sit here and think, well, if Jesus was a carpenter today and he had a 401k, how would he handle it? And I'm pretty sure that to honor his father, he would look to invest in companies. And I don't think there's anything wrong with investing. I think he would say that's a good thing. But now let's look to invest in a way that would be honoring to his father. And so you're looking for companies that are charitable themselves. You're looking for companies that are creative and are producing something that's good, that is helpful to the entire all mankind, not that tears mankind down or leads them astray from the Lord. So clearly you're trying to avoid certain things, and you're looking to definitely invest in other things. And some of the things, of course, that we look to avoid are companies that are in any way involved in abortion, for instance. And that would be even in the production of the chemicals that are used in the abortion process, or whoever is distributing those products, which companies are giving charitable contributions to Planned Parenthood. And there are, of course, many, many other issues that we look at as well that besides abortion. But on the positive side, we're also looking for companies that are doing good things, that are a benefit to mankind, and so that they treat their employees well. They offer them all the best benefits, and they give them time off to help their ailing parents or to help their newborn children. They are charitable-minded. They have a foundation that gives away significantly from the profits of the corporation. That the product that they produce is something that edifies mankind and doesn't tear him down, doesn't push him him away from his relationship with the Lord as, say, alcohol would or tobacco or something along those lines, where it would be either physically or even spiritually, like pornography, demeaning to that person or drive them further from the Lord. So those are the things we're looking for on the positive side of the equation. And, you know, frankly, we find much more companies that are qualifying from a positive perspective than those we have to eliminate from a negative perspective.
Well, Rusty, as you speak about it, I know that most Christians are going to say, given the choice between A or B, they would obviously prefer to make investments in biblically responsible companies. But I think the hard part is, how do you know? For instance, there's a major hotel chain that's going public this week, and how do you know if they're biblically responsible? What if they're selling a ton of pornography inside those hotels? How do you do your homework to really identify the right investments?
Well, Chuck, we've established a company called the Biblically Responsible Investing Institute, where the employees of that company spend their day looking into what the activities these various all companies in the S&P 500 and well beyond, or even overseas companies, what activities they're involved in that might be concerning to the Christian. You know, if Christians would, we have to gather that information. It's obviously something that is not something the average person can do. So you need a centralized source of information for that. So the Biblically Responsible Investing Institute, our affiliated company, does that. And we not only use that internally at Stewardship Partners, but we make that information available to others as well. And so, for instance, I just came from a meeting with the Presbyterian Church in America, and their retirement board uses that information to make sure that the retirement assets that they're invested in are screened properly from a Christian perspective as well. So it's something that has to be centralized, and we have that data centralized, and it's useful data.
So,
you know, the average person can't do it on their own.
Well, we want to talk more about that when we come back, and I want to find out, what do you do if you think you're holding an investment right now that doesn't meet these standards? You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Rusty Linden.
Struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Rusty Leonard, and we're talking about biblically responsible investing. Now, Rusty, as you talk about identifying companies and investments that are in line with our biblical worldview, you said first it takes a lot of diligence. You have to really do your homework. But what if a person listening to this program today and they think, oh my goodness, I probably have all kinds of stuff in my portfolio that with companies involved in activities that dishonor the Lord, do they need to go out and sell those stocks? Are there other options? What do they do if they're suddenly feeling sort of stuck that their portfolio is really not biblically aligned?
Well, that's definitely the case for probably the majority of your listeners. Let them know that they're not under condemnation, they're under conviction, right? And so they need to say, okay, Lord, let's pray about this. How can I resolve this, and what steps can I take? And there are plenty of options, but there's not a lot of options, right? So we offer at Stewardship Partners a separate account program where you have to have over $100,000 to get access to our type of work. So that's one option if you have a significant sum. But there are a bunch of mutual funds out there that also do a biblically responsible investing approach for people who have smaller amounts of money. And so those are like the Timothy Plan family of mutual funds. And there's a new one called the Eventide Gilead Fund that people should look into. And frankly, the more that Christians, you know, take heart of this issue and say, I want something like this, and they go to their broker or their financial advisor and say, I'm very interested in this, then there'll be more and more products made available to them. The various firms that are investors will say, hey, there's a market here. Christians want to reflect their heartfelt beliefs in their investments. Let's help them do that.
Right.
So I would just encourage everybody to go to their advisor and to say that this is something that's important to them. And that will eventually get translated up the food chain, so to speak, and people will start providing them with what they desire.
Well, I think it's important to note that you're not advocating a boycott-type mentality. You're not saying, let's withdraw money from companies we don't like. Let's be punitive. You're saying let's be proactive and put our resources in places that would honor the Lord and honor the things that we all believe in. And I think that's a very different approach and a wholesome approach. But I think the test for many people is, does it make money? Because it's a little bit like the lifeguard test. I've heard many people say, if you were drowning, would you want a lifeguard that's a Christian or a non-Christian? And the answer is, I just want one that can get in the water
swim.
And pull me out. They can swim well. Isn't
sure.
that how most people sort of process this, Rusty?
I think it's fair to do so. I think people like myself should be held to that standard. You know, that's good. That's the way it should be. Because in the parable of the talents, the Lord required both a good return to be achieved, but also I think he required a return that was God-honoring at the same time. And I think both can be achieved. And we've been able, fortunately, with the God's blessing, to be able to provide that in the past. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to do it in the future, although no guarantees can be made. And so I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. And there's somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction that when you think about this, that somehow you're going to lose if you do the right thing. That's not been proven out in reality. So I don't think people have to worry so much about having, if they take a biblical approach, they're somehow going to do poorly. That's not necessarily the case.
Well, Rusty, let's suppose that you're real happy with a company and there's some wonderful blue chip stocks out there that have been performing well this year. I'm sure you're very aware of those, Rusty, but let's suppose that they don't meet any of these standards. Can you influence a company's policies as an investor, as a shareholder?
Well, the way I'm approaching it at the moment is, first, it's all about your personal holiness, what you and your relationship directly with the Lord. And it's really, you know, that's the main thing. If you've got that right and you feel comfortable with that, that's the main thing. But after all Christians start implementing this type of approach generally, then if we kind of gather together, we can influence corporations. And we've seen this with the socially responsible investors you mentioned earlier. They were able to change apartheid in Africa. They were able to change tons and tons of companies' behaviors in terms of environmental regulations and things of that nature. And I'll tell you another story. There's a gentleman by the name of Tom Strobar, who is a financial advisor based out of Ohio, who individually, on his own, has confronted various companies, gone to their board meetings and confronted them about their gifts to Planned Parenthood, and he's defunded over 100 different companies have defunded Planned Parenthood. They stopped funding Planned Parenthood because of this one guy's efforts. So, yes, we can do things that would impact our culture for the good as well. But I think at the heart of it, it's all about your personal holiness and where you stand with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord.
And Rusty, I think another argument that listeners might have is that they don't know where to draw the line because, you know, we all are sinful and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So the argument might be that there's no pure company out there. Therefore, this desire or drive to invest in companies that are truly operating biblically is not possible. And so they throw their hands up and say, I'm just not even going to try it. Have you seen that in your experience?
Absolutely. That's one thing. It's a natural reaction. A lot of people will respond that way initially. But if you really think that through, again, you go back to what Jesus would do. And Jesus, if he was confronted, for instance, in a 401k program with limited choices, and he can't really, you know, he's in the 401k, he can't get out of it, he has to use the choices that are there, well, he's going to use the choices that he has available to him. He does not have an option. But to the extent that he had an option and he could direct his investments to something that was biblically responsible, I think he would take that up. And I'm not trying to use this as any kind of, to put people under any kind of condemnation. I hope none of your listeners will feel like they're bad people doing the wrong thing. Biblically responsible investing is an important thing, but it's hardly the most important thing in your life. But if you can do it the right way, you should. And so to the extent that you have the freedom to do so, the ability to do so, it's something that, you know, why wouldn't you do it as a Christian who has deep beliefs in Christianity and all that the Lord's done for us?
All right, Rusty, bottom line, if I don't want to do a lot of research, are there any mutual funds out there that meet this test and I can simply just move my money into a mutual fund? Give me a few funds out there that meet these tests.
Yes, I mentioned earlier the Timothy Plan mutual funds. They have a whole series of mutual funds that are out there. I think it's timplan.com is their website. There's the Eventide Gilead Fund. You can search on the Internet for that as well. And then, of course, I mentioned Stewardship Partners, my company, for larger accounts, 100,000 and above. We can do that for you as well. There are others, but those three are doing, in my view, the best job of screening from a biblically responsible investment approach.
Rusty Leonard, great having you today. Hope you'll come back soon.
I hope so, too. It's always a pleasure.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I hope you enjoyed today's program with Rusty Leonard. He is truly a world-class investor and a great brother in the Lord. But I want to make something very, very clear to you that even though we talked about the principles of biblically responsible investing, we gave you some examples and some options of what that really looks like in terms of where you might want to consider, what you might want to investigate, so that you could be aware that those options do exist, but in no way do I endorse you moving your money to any of those options. I simply wanted to make you aware of them so that you would do your homework, make your own choices, but don't think that we're here to promote any specific fund. We just want to make you aware that you can be a biblically responsible investor and achieve your financial objectives in life at the same time. But you always have to do your own homework.
Well, that's a good reminder, Chuck. And speaking of reminders, we have an upcoming event that we need to remind our listeners about.
Well, Dave, we have an annual reunion where we gather our staff and key volunteers from around the world every year, and we have a time of fellowship, a time of worship together, a time of training where we really get focused on what God has called us to accomplish, because we want to be so much more than just a ministry organization. We want to stimulate a movement, Dave, and that's a grassroots effort for people like you who are listening, who really care about this message and want to be equipped to serve others in your local sphere of influence. We want you to come and join us, to be a champion, to be equipped to understand the tools and the resources and the methods and the training that's available to you to reach out into your own area where God has placed you, whether it's in your own home, in your own church, in your own business, in your own neighborhood, in your own school, in your own apartment complex, wherever it may be. We want you to be a champion of this message for such a time as this. And I believe there's a great sense of urgency to raise your hand and say, I'll get involved. I'll do more than passively receive. I will also be a doer or a multiplier of this message. So if that resonates with where you are and your heart, I'm asking you to take some time this year and come and join us for a great time of rest and relaxation. There's going to be some real surprises at this year's reunion that I think you're not going to want to miss. And if you decide to come as a result of hearing us on the air, come up to me and introduce yourself and say, I joined because you asked us to be here. I'd love to say hello to you.
Well, once again, this year's Crown Reunion will be held at the Ridgecrest Conference Center in Asheville, North Carolina, and the dates are Thursday, November 19th through Sunday, the 22nd. Now, the deadline to register is this coming Thursday, November 12th. So go online at crown.org/reunion, and you can sign up there or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976, and speak to one of our customer service representatives. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us. for this edition of Money Life.